I think it's very difficult for the EU simply to let the matter rest without taking some kind of action. It's very clear to many of us that Mr. Putin has made a strategic mistake here. Many would have given him the benefit of the doubt on the first conviction and jail sentence for Mr. Khodorkovsky that the man had been involved in illegal business practices, even if many of us believed that the real reason was his financing of the Yabloko Liberal Party in Russia. But now, with what seems like a very personal campaign against him, Mr. Putin has made Mr. Khodorkovsky into some kind of human rights or political martyr. He's become a political prisoner. I think that's a mistake, and I believe that the European Union should do more than simply issue a declaration in order to make its displeasure expressed.
EU-Russia summit in December last year, at this summit, European sides stressed importance of issues of human rights in future relations with Russia. Do you think this commitment should, or may I say, can go beyond economic interests that bond both subjects?
I think it has to go beyond economic interests. And I say that at least for this reason, that the Russians like to talk about a strategic partnership with the European Union. It's very hard to have a strategic partnership with a country which does not respect the rule of law, with a country where there is very little freedom of expression, very little freedom of the media, and a country whose values appear to be so very different from our own. We certainly need an economic relationship with Russia. We have an interest in buying things, particularly oil and gas, from Russia. They have an interest in buying things from us. But there is, of course, a much wider aspect to relations between the European Union and Russia, which is cultural and otherwise. And in that field, we can certainly make or take actions to express our disapproval of their treatment, not only of Mr. Khodorkovsky, but of the lawyer, Mr. Lebedev, who sought to defend him.
So you think EU should also suffer some kind of damage to its interests to preserve its stance on human rights issues?
I think, of course, there is the danger that if you get into the business of taking action, that there may be reprisals on the other side against you. What the European Union has found to be very effective in dealing with some countries has been to take measures aimed at the individuals involved rather than measures aimed at the country as a whole. One might take, for example, some of the prosecutors involved in Mr. Khodorkovsky's case and impose on them a ban from traveling within the European Union, impose perhaps a freeze on any assets that they hold in European Union banks. These targeted sanctions are often more effective than more blanket sanctions against a country.
Your Prime Minister, David Cameron, also received calls to cancel his scheduled visit to Russia as a sign of disagreement with politics of Russian government. On the other hand, Vladimir Putin still has many allies among leaders of EU states. Do you think former signal from them can affect his superior position in Russian politics?
I'm not sure whether it can affect his position in Russian politics, but it can certainly express opinions. Mr. Cameron has to choose between either cancelling the visit in order to express displeasure or perhaps going there and making a point of raising in every meeting the issue of the trial of Mr. Khodorkovsky and indeed other infringements of the values that we would like Russia to respect. For example, I think of the treatment of Mr. Magnitsky, for example. There are many areas where many cases we can raise to express our concern for the deterioration of the situation of freedom and freedom of expression in what is, after all, a European country.
Do you think this kind of resolute act in addressing human rights issues worldwide should be extended to all countries with such a deficit, or is this kind of moral and coherent common foreign policy of EU possible nowadays?
We already are taking measures against Mr. Gbagbo, the former president of the Ivory Coast, who has refused to stand down despite losing a democratic election. We have a regular mechanism for raising with the Chinese issues of human rights. We abhor the human rights record that they have in China, the way they treat people in their prisons and so on. And I believe that we should be consistent in our application of these policies. That is why we cannot allow Mr. Khodorkovsky's jailing and that of Mr. Lebedev and some of the other things that have happened simply to pass mentioned only in a press release from the European Union.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is that it is most of the time easier to condemn and impose stricter sanctions against weaker countries, or let's say regimes, than towards such a huge world power as it's China.
It is indeed, and the European Union has had to work very hard to find the right framework in which to raise with the Chinese authorities its concerns, and in which to help as much as possible those seeking to promote freedom and democracy in China. We have a number of organizations working in China on these issues. We regularly raise the issues with the Chinese leadership. There is a regular human rights dialogue. As a result of this, we have seen some small improvements. And I believe it is important, whether the country you are dealing with is a large power like China, or perhaps a very small African or Latin American country, it's important nonetheless to be consistent. And if the new foreign and security policy for the European Union, which arises from the Lisbon Treaty, is to have any credibility, then it will be credible for consistency and credible for a reflection of the European Union's values.